deaths of David Palmer, Tony Almeida, and Michelle Desler. They were friends of mine.
That's the way it works.
Jack, Logan doesn't confess. How far are you actually willing to go?
As far as I have to.
Welcome to 24 Under Review, your one-stop shop for all things 24.
Now, let's rejoin our regularly scheduled podcast.
Previously on 24.
Grudenko introduces us to Mark Mahazer and his brother with autism, Brady, and they have a contract to give Grudenko some security specs for what we later learn is Edgemont Nuclear Power Plant. Jack and the rest of the tag team intercept Mahazer, and they set up a plan to have Brady give Grudenko the information, and they will take them down and capture Grudenko. They do so just in time. Jack shoots two guys, and Grudenko is hit with a tranquilizer, so they don't risk him dying. Grudenko tells Jack that he will only give them information on where Fayette is if he gets immunity and the promise that he will not be returned to Russia. Nadia is proved innocent by some evidence that was found at the switching station that allowed the controller of the drone to hack into CTU system and get the information without anyone's knowledge. Noah Daniels requests that a nuclear bomb be launched at Assad's country, which they still have not named as a real country yet. Sandra Palmer requests that Wayne be taken out of a coma so that he can call off the nuclear strike, and he then takes over presidency soon after coming out of a coma. Daniels isn't happy because he thinks launching the nuke is the right thing, so he calls for the Attorney General so that he can get Wayne out of office.
The following takes place between 9 p.m. and 10 p.m.
Noah gathers the cabinet so that he can invoke the 25th Amendment, which if he gets the majority, it will put Wayne Palmer out of the presidency until he recovers from his injury that he acquired earlier in the day when he was next to that bomb that Carson and Reed planted. Back at the medical bay, Wayne is getting ready to go out and face the cabinet, and he is in his wheelchair, and he tells the doctor to give him some adrenaline because he wants to be able to face Daniel standing up so he doesn't appear to be weak. And Karen and Wayne's brother Sandra, or Wayne's sister Sandra, have a few objections. Their main one is that Kennedy ran the country from a wheelchair, but he doesn't care, and so he gets his adrenaline. And Jack is now telling Bill that he doesn't trust Grudenko, and if there's a challenge for the presidency, that means that the pardon for Grudenko's pardon will not be binding. So Jack asks the attorney to draw up the amnesty papers, and he has no intention of honoring them. And back at the bunker, Wayne walks into the conference room and is greeted by Daniels. And Daniels says that he speaks for all of them when he says he is happy that he is recovered, and we will later learn he's not too happy. The cabinet members are authorized by the Constitution to make the final decision, so they will all have a vote, like in season 2, I believe it is. The doctor who treated the president, Dr. Welton, is asked to come in and say the medical side of the story. And he tells him he believes that Wayne has passed the most dangerous part and he is fit to work. Wayne then speaks for himself and blames his disagreement with Daniels over the nuclear strike as the reason for this vote, and Daniels argues that the 25th Amendment is open for interpretation because it doesn't describe what unfit means, So he says he merely wanted to counterattack, and Wayne is not going to do anything, so that is why he is going to do it, or invoke the 25th Amendment. Just after that, the cabinet members prepare to vote. Milo goes over to Nadia's workstation, where she tells him that, or Milo tells her he wants to forget what happened between them, and he doesn't think either of them will forget about the kiss. Doyle then summons Nadia to his office, and he explains that he didn't single her out because because he's a racist. He was doing his job, and he apologizes for assaulting her. He believes that Milo caused a leak by logging in with the wrong security parameters, so Doyle wants Nadia to go and get the evidence from Milo's system to prove this. She feels manipulated, and she says that she won't do it, but then she does give in, mainly because Doyle says that if she doesn't do it, he will have forensics teams come in, and they will likely carry him out in handcuffs, and he wants Milo to avoid the humiliation that Nadia had. Back at the bunker, Karen and Sandra try to convince the weakened Wayne to marginalize Daniels, but Wayne cannot do that without alienating his supporters, which he needs the support of. They suggest that they could kick Daniels out of the bunker, but Wayne says no, he wants to keep Daniels on a tight leash and doesn't want to have him that far away. With that, the cabinet gets together again, and Lennox calls for the vote. 7 people, including Karen, support the president, and 7 oppose. If you recall back to the vote in season 2, there were 15 people because there were 7 against, or 7 for the president, 8 against him, so I don't know what happened there. And the attorney general explains that the amendment requires the vice president and the majority of the cabinet agree. Since there's no majority, Wayne remains in office, and he smiles in relief. Daniels interjects that Karen's vote doesn't count because she already has resigned, and Karen contests she did resume her duties, and Daniels had no objections. Daniels, in response, claims that he never recognized her as national security advisor after that, and since her vote wasn't valid, there is a majority split against Wayne. And Wayne says, "I won't let you steal the presidency." And then the Attorney General determines that it's a legal question, so the Supreme Court will have to hear the issue. And then Wayne doesn't seem too happy, but at least he can hold his post for another 40 minutes, which is as long as it should take for the Supreme Court to finish the case. Daniels then tells Lennox that he is starting to think Lennox isn't on his side, and Tom tells him that he has only been on the side of the United States, and he's sorry if he made it look otherwise. After the commercial break, Nadia asks Milo to help reset her station. When he leaves to do it, she gets into his workstation and quickly downloads all the necessary files onto a USB thumb drive. Nadia heads upstairs and gives it to Doyle, and smugly says that he was right about Milo being responsible for the security breach. She is surprised when he alters the logs so no one will discover his mistake, and he says, "All I care about is finding those nukes, and we have a better chance of doing that with Milo on board, whether he likes it or not." She's surprised again when Doyle quotes the Quran, and he says he has read every religious book because he cannot find his own answers. Doyle is not the man Nadia thought he was, and he's not really the man I thought he was. And then Nadia returns to his station. Milo asks what Doyle wanted, and she lies about what happened. And then Milo senses something is wrong, but doesn't investigate more. Karen then calls Bill and fills him in on the 25th Amendment vote. She is unsure whether her resignation will really hold up in the decision. Bill comforts her, telling her that he had the resignation rescinded, so it shouldn't be a problem, and she is scared that Daniels will win and it will all be her fault. Once again, Bill comforts her by telling her that it'll all work out. Rudenko verifies the agreements with his lawyer, and CTU prepares a team to get Fayed, and Jack threatens to kill Rudenko on the spot if he tips off Fayed. Rudenko calls Fayed and makes plans to meet up with him at the Santa Monica Pier. Back at the bunker, Sandra is writing the brief for the Supreme Court case, and she argues that Daniels accepted Karen's return to the office, and he didn't tell her she was not the National Security Advisor. In the lounge, Lisa discusses the case with Daniels, and the Vice President is convinced that a weak Wayne will only encourage terrorists to fight back, and Lisa does not seem too sure about their chances. And with that, she suggests that she could lie to the Supreme Court and say that Daniels told her to tell Karen that her return was only temporary and she is not really the National Security Advisor. And she believes Daniels will do the right thing for the country, so he takes her hand warmly and thanks. And they agree that Lisa will lie in order to keep the Vice President Daniels as president. And at the pier, Halil, one of Fayed's men, advocates detonating the bombs themselves without Grudenko's help because they can kill a lot of people, and although it won't be as much, it will be much more secure. And Fayed rejects this offer. Back at the bunker, Lennox enters the lounge and shows for the Vice President the bug he planted in the room to protect himself after Daniels asked him to lie to the ambassador. He then plays back a part of the tape, which is where Lisa was offering to commit perjury, and Daniels accepting what she had offered. It's a federal offense, so Daniels quickly gives in and agrees that he will drop the case. So Karen readies the launch code so that Wayne can cancel the nuclear strike if the Supreme Court rules in his favor, and then Sandro brings back the news that Daniels withdrew his case, so Wayne is the president. When Karen and Sandra leave the room, Wayne calls the doctor because he is struggling with pain. At the pier, the attack is ready to go down. He gets in a position, and another agent injects Grudenko's arm with a radioactive tracking device, which I thought would have gone through the bloodstream, or at least that's what I would have done, but evidently it went directly into the bone and stayed in the bone and did not move at all. And that will be not too good later, and you'll see why. And since Doyle's team is still 20 minutes away, and Fayed gave explicit orders about the time, Jack just sends Grudenko in, and he will use the tag team he has with him. Grudenko walks a little bit aimlessly through the pier, and he hears his cell phone ringing, and he finds it hidden under a railing, and no one is on the line, but Jack can see Grudenko reading a text message. And Grudenko gets to the location and is grabbed by Fayed's men and taken in the building. He silently shows Fayed the bug that CTU placed on his jacket, and Grudenko unplugs it, and Morris loses audio at CTU, which prompts him to go to the secondary channel, which has also no audio. Grudenko explains to Fayed that the Americans forced his hand, but that he has a plan. Jack, after a little bit, heads into the building where CTU has traced Grudenko to, and Milo confirms that Grudenko is still inside, but the room is empty. After a few seconds of looking around, Jack finds Grudenko's arm on the ground. Jack calls for the field team to invade, and he follows the trail of the blood throughout the building, and Fayed's two men help Grudenko escape. Fayed's men spot Jack alone and start firing. Jack ducks for cover, but manages to take out the two guards single-handedly with possibly one of the best quotes from the episode, where he's hiding behind the car and just says, "Just show me your head," and right as he says that, the guy pops out, and Jack takes one shot and kills him. As CTU starts to go after them, Fayed and Grudenko flee into a bar filled with patrons watching the news about the attacks, and Grudenko realizes that they are trapped, and he points out Fayed is probably the terrorist that they're hunting. And after a few seconds, the other people recognize Fayed's face from the news, and Fayed shoots at Gradenko and misses, and then he takes another shot at one of the other patrons. They grab Fayed and start punching him. As Gradenko runs out the back door, Jack enters the bar and apprehends Fayed. He radios CTU that Gradenko is still at large, and I have to say there's not much you can do with just one arm, but that's just my opinion. He still does have Fayed's two men, but I think after betraying the Fayed, those guys won't be too happy. The White House doctor gives Wayne another dose of adrenaline, although he is against it. Wayne says he'll get someone else to do it, so he just does it anyway. And he warns Wayne that he will have vascular damage, and it's a chance Wayne is willing to take. Although I do believe that the doctor said it was going to happen, period. But, you know, miracles happen. Just after that, Buchanan informs Wayne that Fayed is in custody, but the bombs have not been found, and Jack will interrogate Fayed. Very bloody and very weak, Gradenko hides under the pier, and he falls down and dies as the ocean waves crash over his body. Back at the bunker, Karen and Lennox agree to a truce because they are both working for the good of the country, and she asks Daniels why Daniels gave up so easily, and Lennox feigns an ignorance, and he says, or she says, "I'd love to know the real story," and Lennox responds by saying he'll tell her someday, which right there he tells her he knows what it is, but he doesn't want to share it, which I found a little bit odd after just telling her he had no idea what happened. And then Lennox gets a call alerting him that Wayne ordered a nuclear strike. He and Karen are in shock. Then Lennox rushes into the conference room where Wayne just ordered this strike, and they have this little conversation.
Okay, someday. Lennox. This cannot be. This has got to be some mistake.
Sir, no mistake.
I'm on my way. President Palmer.
What?
He's about to go ahead with a nuclear strike. Mr. President. If I may, sir. I understand you are about to launch the very strike we just prevented Vice President Daniels from launching.
That's right.
This makes no sense, sir. It's what you risked your life to stop.
Tom, I risked my life to reassert my authority. I got Vice President Daniels calling me weak. Even you thought the same thing.
I implore you, sir, do not mistake being reckless with being strong.
Tom, I am done talking.
Mr. President, we have a successful launch.
Good.
This is the longest day of my life.